On Saturday Night Live, Colin Jost came out swinging. This is a great joke. Representative Matt Gaetz, who looks like a caricature artist drawing of me, Colin Jost, is reportedly under investigation for an alleged sexual relationship with an underage girl because Gaetz believes that only voters should have to show ID. That is so good, and you can picture Colin mugging for the camera. It's also being reported that Gaetz may have paid for sex with women he met online. That story has been since confirmed by his whole vibe. Jost addressed Gaetz's strange statement on the allegations. In that statement, Matt Gaetz said, Matt Gaetz has never paid for sex. Matt Gaetz has never ever been on such websites. So ever, Matt Gaetz cherishes the relationships in his past and looks forward to marrying the love of his life. Colin Jost said, Colin Jost does not believe you. Colin Jost thinks you have been to all the websites. Colin Jost thinks you should hold off on sending out those wedding invites. Jost continued, here's the craziest part of this story to me. A sitting congressman is being accused of child trafficking and the QAnon people are suddenly like, nah, I need more evidence. That's your whole thing. I mean, come on. Matt Gaetz's girlfriend, she was allegedly 17. The 17th letter in the alphabet is Q. It all adds up. What are you waiting for? The storm is finally here and QAnon is like, you can't believe everything you read on the internet. Great stuff there. Kate McKinnon on SNL portrayed Pepe Le Pew. Pepe Le Pew was dropped from the Space Jam sequel because some people are worried about how a talking skunk behaves when the talking skunk hits on a cat with paint on her back. Kate McKinnon said, as Pepe Le Pew, I would love to be at a point in my career where I could turn down projects, but there's not a lot of parts for an old French skunk. The parts come down to me and Gerard Depardieu. If you think I'm the problem, I have two words for you, Speedy Gonzalez. And if you didn't hear this from me, the FBI is 99% sure Yosemite Sam was at the Capitol riots. Great stuff there. Kyle Mooney made fun of YouTubers, so I'm down with that. He portrayed YouTuber Marky Monroe, which sounds like somebody who would actually be a YouTuber. Marky Monroe is a vlog squad type who leads his prank posse and hilarious hijinks. Are we sure this isn't an actual vlogger? The hilarious hijinks, such as replacing a bidet with a fire hose and dropping an entire flat screen television on his friend JP. Marky Monroe goes viral after he finds mouse bones in his Apple Jacks, but quickly finds himself filming an apology video addressing the allegations against him, saying they're all true and they're all very bad. No sooner does Marky Monroe get back to pranks than he has to apologize again, this time for dropping the TV on his friend's head. Comedy is back, baby. New York City clubs can now have 33% capacity. So Gotham Comedy Club kind of reopened and had Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah, Jerry was at Gotham, I think it was Friday night. After the show, Jerry talked to reporters and said, it felt like getting electrocuted in a good way. The audience was great. And I was actually feeling like, can I still do this? You wonder if you remember, it's not quite like playing tennis for a year. And as soon as I get up, the audience exploded and I just felt at home. I love this club. I love performing in New York. I didn't want to get emotional, but I'm really excited to be helping to bring it back. Comedy is more than just interesting and amusing. It like changes your mood. It's one of the few things that can really change how you feel and give you a little bit of relief. Speaking of Seinfeld from the AV Club, Sinfeld Chronicles, a horror game based on Seinfeld and other New York City set comedies. Yeah, it's the Sinfeld Chronicles, now coming out as Sinfeld Remastered. We have a trailer for this. It opens with a monologue about peeing on beds and being marked by the mean streets of a post-apocalyptic New York. We meet protagonist Donathan, who's been recast from Jerry's nephew to his adopted son. He walks past trash fires and graffiti-covered alleys toward the Seinfeld diner, New Balance sneakers splashing in puddles. The video game's description tells us Donathan is trapped in an endless loop of nightmares after being abandoned by Jerry about 3 a.m. in the Big Apple. Donathan is mauled by a sewer alligator, watches an EVA unit fight a kaiju, jumps onto a helicopter to smash its window with his forehead, and dodges a bald giant outside the welcoming lights of a Tim Hortons. We also see Donathan absorb the now literal spirit of Festivus, and are shown hints that Donathan may be the result of a secret scientific experiment. This video game sounds like the designers have way too much free time. Sinfield Remastered will be out on PlayStation 5 and your personal computer in October. I'm psyched for this one. CNN is putting out a show called The Story of Late Night, and they have launched a companion podcast, so I will listen to that. The Story of Late Night is a six-part docuseries. It starts May 2nd on your CNN. It features archival footage of late-night legends Johnny Carson, Jay Leno, David Letterman, plus interviews from Fallon, Kimmel, Chelsea Handler, Trevor Noah, Conan O'Brien, Seth Meyers, James Corden, Amber Ruffin, Desus and Mero, Whoopi Goldberg, and W. Kamau Bell, plus behind-the-scenes decision makers like Lorne Michaels and Jeff Zucker. That's good. The first episode covers Steve Allen's Tonight Show run and takes a look at how Johnny Carson transformed late-night television. Other episodes will include Letterman's Rise, the battle between Letterman and Leno, and the rise of Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. As an aside here, if you have HBO Max, see if a thing called The Late Shift is on there. That was a TV movie from like 25 years ago about Letterman versus Leno. It's cheesy, but like really good cheesy. The Late Shift, that's called. Back to the CNN thing. The extended finale will cover the present day and how the host dealt with Trump and COVID-19. I'm more interested in the early stuff. I want to watch that Steve Allen and Carson episode. The podcast will go even deeper, we are told. That's good. CNN contributor and former New York Times media reporter Bill Carter will be the host of the podcast. Carter said, "I've covered late night TV for a long time, long enough to know it's filled with fascinating personalities, big moments, big laughs, all kinds of conflicts, characters, craziness, and compelling stories. In our docuseries and accompanying podcast, we're going to take a deep dive into all that and have a lot of fun doing it." All right, I have to get the commercial break in. I'm going to get on my soapbox when we come back because somebody left a comment in the comments section, and I'm going to address the comment. But first, this. So as you know, you can follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows. Now, particular to Apple Podcasts, you can leave a rating and a review. You can give me 1 star, 2 stars, 3 stars, 4 stars, 5 stars. Can't give me 0, but you can give me 1 or 5, and you can leave a review. So here's a review from TuggerBug28. TuggerBug28 left this review. "Another good old boys club. Where are the women?" That's it. 1 star. TuggerBug28, not a fan of the show. All right. This one actually bothered me. Been thinking about this one for days, and I want to address it on the podcast. What I don't want to do is some sort of, "Well, some of my best friends are women. I hang out with women all the time." I don't want to do that. So here's what I have to say. I am a man. Whatever biases I have, I guess I have. I can assure you, and I don't write the news to be about men. What I do is I Google every morning. I'll tell you what I do. I go on Google, type in comedy, and I see what's there. Then I type in the word comedian, and I see what's there. Then I go to the laughbutton.com. Then I go to the interrobang.com. Then I go to Vulture. Then I go to the Hollywood Reporter. Then I go to the AV Club. If that's not enough to fill the show, then I go to Chortle. Sometimes I will go to the Comics Comic. And then sometimes if there's really nothing going on, I will Google the search terms Dave Chappelle, Bill Burr, Joe Rogan, Ricky Gervais. That's pretty much how I put the show together. I've got a little document here. Within the document, I have each day written out. So today I'm reading the Monday file. Now in the Tuesday file, I have some stories that didn't fit into today's show and I've saved them for tomorrow. As I'm recording this, I see, depending on the editing, we're about 8-9 minutes in here as I speak. So I know I already have too much for today and some stuff will get bumped. Some stuff will get bumped to the weekend because I've been pretty honest with you guys that sometimes I don't like to record on the weekend. This particular episode I'm recording on Easter Sunday because I was busy Friday and Saturday. I went to the soccer tournament, which is why I gave you generic episodes over the weekend. Now, as I do all that, I'm not looking at this stuff going, "Oh, this is about women. I'm not going to read that crap." I read whatever's there. I write about stories and I talk about stories that I find interesting. For example, the man arrested in India for doing jokes he didn't tell. It's a little off the beaten path. I find it interesting. Some things I like, some things I don't. I make fun of Sarah Cooper. You know Sarah Cooper. She pantomimes 2 Donald Trump videos on TikTok. Not a fan. Sarah's a woman. I'm not a fan of Adam Sandler movies. Adam's a man. If I have to do the some of my best friends are women defense, go back and listen what I had in my top 10 last year. You know what my top 2 specials were last year? Natalie Palamides Nate, Hannah Gatsby's Douglas. So yeah, the comment bugs me a little. Which brings us to an article that Vulture wrote, "Do We Really Need Documentaries About Women in Comedy?" by Jesse David Fox and Catherine Van Arendonk. I did a quick Google here. Jesse's a man, Catherine's a woman. Here's their point of view. You want to make women in comedy cringe? Say the phrase women in comedy. You could be trying to be positive, like, "It's really a great time for women in comedy," or 10 women in comedy to watch. But the words still trigger. Brings to mind mid-market morning radio shock jocks asking, "What's it like being a woman in comedy?" And well, you know they just want to find out if you sleep with fans. Or overly earnest journalists asking the same question, hoping the answer is traumatically bad. Makes female comedians think of ghettoized ladies' night comedy shows or of being expected to discuss the Me Too allegations of comedians they don't know, which their male colleagues never are. This is complicated, especially when you want to inform people of, you know, what it is and what it's like being a woman in comedy. Jesse David Fox. I want to talk about women in comedy as an idea that gets talked about as a whole. I don't really feel the need to talk about women in comedy in actuality because I don't think it's like a remarkable weird thing that deserves to be discussed. Catherine Van Arendonk says, I think what we want to talk about is the idea of pointing to women in comedy as some special deserving class that requires distinct attention because it so often results in us overlooking the fact that there are actual individual women who do comedy. I assume we are not the only people to have noticed that there are lots of women doing comedy, but there's also a tendency to identify women doing comedy as some unusual, strange phenomenon that requires a lot of particular focus separate from the rest of the comedy world, and that's a phenomenon. The let's talk about the funny ladies thing is something I feel really mixed about. I feel very conflicted about it as kind of a project. So it's Huggerbug 28. Appreciate the review. 1 star. Another good old boys club. Where are the women? To you, I say, it's daily comedy news. Comedy is comedy. Hey, you know who's a woman? Liz Mealy, female woman comedian and stuff. Comedian Liz Mealy, she has a new book. It's called Why Cats Are A-Holes. And that not only teaches readers about the felines, but teaches better ways to deal with other humans. Liz Mealy's out to prove that cats can teach us a lot about dealing with other humans. She said, sometimes you have to wait it out. And I think intrinsically women know that. Like we're handed a lump that is men and we're kind of like, I feel like this could be better. I feel like that's why a lot of women are drawn to cats. You're like, it's almost there. I just feel like with a little bit of love and training, you could be the pet I want you to be. Of cats, Liz Mealy, who's a woman, by the way, in comedy. Woman in comedy. She's a female comedian who I'm now talking about on Daily Comedy News. Liz says, it's exactly the pet you want. Not really. They're so fun to like put stuff on top of. They don't express themselves. They always look miserable. How funny is that? That's so funny. How can you not be brightened up by the fact that something so cute looks so miserable all the time? Whenever I hear somebody that says they're not a cat person, my first instinct is to be like, what experience did you have to get there? There's tons of bad press. I get that. But there's also an internet of videos of them being the cutest thing. At the end of the day, cats, like humans, have imperfections. This is who they are. This is what it is. And you either love it or you don't. I want to check in on the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. The Age says, a week into the festival, our reviewers have found some 4- and 5-star gems among festival stalwarts. I know not all of us could get to Melbourne this year. So let's see. At Cockatiel, Charlie Zangle Show got 3.5 stars. Charlie's at Comedy Republic until April 5th. So if you caught this the second I published it in Melbourne, you might be able to get to the show. The rest of us, you missed it, but we weren't going anyway. Pandemic. The Age says, following a short sketch documenting his adolescence and a recital of a single drama queen, Charlie Zangle sets the tone for the evening very early on, saying, are you guys ready to do some gay stuff tonight? Cockatiel is about a teenager who leads a drama troupe in a Catholic high school, realizing his sexuality, part of comfortable and confident late 20-something young genderqueer belting out original and parody songs. Tyson Ray writes, he's here, he's queer, snap up a ticket quick. Hope you didn't miss it. Bob Franklin's run is over. His show, Sir Robert's Sporting Legends, The Age says, with a mischievous glint in his eye and a wry smile, Bob Franklin as Sir Robert steps onto the stage and sets the audience off from the get-go. He's a picture of refinement, hosting a charity night for the reformed Shane Warne Foundation. Australian reference, maybe? Don't know. However, few are safe from his cynical, sarcastic genius. He rattles off well-known names, skewering them with an unrivaled panache. An inspired selection of sporting, entertainment, and television identities are targeted. These all seem to be Australian TV personalities who I'm not familiar with, other than Russell Crowe is one of those made fun of. The saucy old thespian's turn of phrase as he lists the donated charity auction items is enchanting, peppered with rapid-fire barbs. Sir Bob is so intrinsically funny, all he has to do is swing his leg onto a chair and the audience erupts. Donna DeMeo reviewed that and said, by no means do you need to follow sport to get the gags. It's more social commentary with extra sting. Sounds like that was a good show. We have also missed Dave Thornton's show, Novel Problems. That wrapped up on April 4th. This review tells us Dave Thornton should hope for latecomers to every show. His gentle taunting of tardy stragglers sets the tone for an hour of quick wit and cheery anecdotes. He launches into a stream of engaging tales. Reflections on the lockdown prevail while Thornton isn't afraid to regale the audience with embarrassing insights into being a father to 2 young girls, even with his wife in the audience. He pokes fun at baby names, dog breeds, snobbery, cynics, and rumpus rooms. Don't be surprised if the words fiddlesticks and tickety-boo come up. That sounds like a lot of fun. The Melbourne International Comedy Festival, I'll be talking about those recaps all week. A quick review for you. I had been looking forward to Rainn Wilson's new podcast, which is called Dark Air with Terry Carnation. That was making fun of like late-night AM radio UFO shows. Pass. Hard pass. Rainn is just doing a character that doesn't feel at all believable as a human being that would exist. I was so excited for it. The trailer is pretty good, but the actual podcast, not good. Sorry, Rainn Wilson, hard pass for me. So again, on this episode, since I'm talking about, you know, how stuff gets into the show, let me just scroll up here because I'm nearly 20 minutes in yet and we didn't talk about Top Dog yet. So I have bumped a story about Nish Kumar that was in the New York Times. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow. And I have bumped a story about Auntie Donna, the Australian comedy troupe that I like a lot. But, you know, we're getting a little long here and we got to talk Top Dog. So last week, tried something new. It was Dave Chappelle versus Richard Pryor. And with the spirit of today's show being transparency, you can get a lot of votes. So that idea didn't work. But let's wrap that up. It was a tie going into the weekend, and that would have been a nice way to end. But Catahoua Dog commented and broke the tie. Catahoua Dog said Chappelle. So Dave Chappelle is comedy's top dog, knocking off Richard Pryor. So for this week, I thought I'd try something different. Let's just let Dave Chappelle sit over there on the throne with the crown, and he can be comedy's top dog for a while. But let's try something different. This week, let's match up two sitcoms. So my question for you, who is comedy's top dog sitcom? Is it Seinfeld or Friends? Simple enough. Seinfeld or Friends? Go to Instagram at Daily Comedy News. Find the picture of Seinfeld and Friends and comment in the comments. If you like what I do here, you could go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review and maybe say something nice. That would be good. Or go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. I am recording on Sunday, and here is one of two iced coffees. On Sunday, I buy two iced coffees. I used to buy one, and I found during breakfast I would chug the first one and then wish I had a second one. So I just buy two now. So you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews, and you can buy me a coffee. Follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Long one today. Pretty robust for a Monday. Maybe I should always record on Sunday, but I like to go to the beach and stuff. See you tomorrow.